All right, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation for Zion's Sake Ministries and the best little Messianic congregation in the whole Bristol, Tennessee area and Virginia, too. And this is my lovely wife, Captain Dawn. She's my sidekick, and she's my good thing. And isn't she pretty? Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Our music's always better with Dawn. All right, we're going to get started here. So we're going to welcome the Shabbat with Shabbat Shalom. And we'll get underway. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just a little more piano. Oh, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men, watchmen over Jerusalem. Day and night they will never keep silent, calling Jerusalem. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Lift up a standard, behold, salvation comes.
Hallelujah!
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. La la la, la 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 la, la la la.
The nations will see your righteousness. The kings will see your glory revealed in you. A kingdom of priests, righteous to the Lord, going forth with the torch of Yeshua.
Hear that shofar one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I heard a new kind of music. It blew me away. I don't know where I heard it. Somebody was telling me about it. It was called hiccup. Anybody ever listen to hiccup? Not hip-hop. Hiccup.
Hiccup.
Yep.
Hick, so, as in the sticks.
And we are
hayseed hop.
The original hickabilly. The Hickabilly Messianic Congregation. Praise Yeshua. Hallelujah. We do hickabilly. Not rockabilly, hickabilly. Amen, Brother Joe. What's next, Miss Dawn? Okay, let's get back to Messianic worship here.
Let's.
Y'all check that out, hick hop music.
You get to keep it's a real thing.
Yeah, you get to keep your pickup truck.
All right, let's bless Yeshua, who is the Messiah, Yeshua who Adonai. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu edorech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation
in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Hallelujah. Ah. This blessing comes out of, isn't it Deuteronomy?
Comes out of the Bible.
It comes out. You're supposed to know all the verses. You're the rabbi. I just,
well, you know,
it's like
I'm just playing it safe. Let's just do the song, honey.
All right, this verse comes out of the Bible.
See what you're missing?
Mishkenotecha Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles,
and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness.
Where you dwell and the place where glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay, I'm going to take a sip and we're going to do the Vishamru.
That's on page 45 in your book, or it's on the screen. If you want to read the Hebrew, that's in the book. Hallelujah.
And if we put a little sun thing around the screen, it would be sunscreen.
Thank you.
Just a thought.
Because it's so bright in here, we need it.
We need sunglasses. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim, asah Adonai, Asa Adonai, Eshemayim v'haaretz, v'shamru
v'nei Yisrael,
et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shavi, Shabbat v'enafash, Shabbat v'enafash, Shabbat v'enafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Hallelujah. 46, page 46. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. Prosper them, prosper them that love her. Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. We pray for you, Shalom
Aleichem. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray in tune. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's be in tune with God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we're going to pray for the salvation of the United States of America. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just come before you right now, Lord, and we just thank you for all the fragrant incense and prayers that have been lifted up in this congregation over the last 3 weeks. Thank you, Lord, for your servant Carol, who has been so faithful day after day, organizing prayer meetings. Whoever would come, she's been praying day after day after day, week after week. We just thank you for her, Lord. And she's taking a rest today. Her son, pray for Billy that his stomach flu is better and that was just a 24-hour thing and not COVID. Pray that nobody else gets sick. We just thank you, Lord, for the prayers and everyone who's prayed and come and participated at different days and nights and anointed this building and prayed for our nation and prayed for Israel. Lord, for those who don't know, we've been having constant prayer for the last about 3 weeks, almost every single day. Hallelujah. If you'd like to join us, just let us know. Call our office for Zion Sync Ministries. You can connect with us on our website there. You can see it. You're on our website, so our information's right there. Just let us know you're interested in coming to prayer. Hallelujah. But let's continue. Father, we just pray that you would save your people Israel, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes and help them to see. Lord, that you would help them to see. Lord, we just pray that you would save your people. And Lord, we had wanted to go to Israel, and there was quarantine. You had to quarantine for 10 days. We just pray that you would remove the restrictions, that you would rid us of this plague, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would open the floodgates of Aliyah, yes. Lord. I don't know, you work, all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we just pray, Lord, that you would part the sea of Aliyah, make a way for your people to go home, Lord. All your people, Jew and Gentile, those who want to go, Lord, that you'd make a way. Open the doors for us, Lord, to go back, to go home, to be in the land of our Messiah. We pray, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. We just pray, Lord, for salvation of the people there, Lord, from the lowest and the highest street sweeper to the lowest prime minister. Hallelujah. As Garth Brooks said, I have friends in low places. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you for the rabbis here and the congregations worshiping today. We pray you bless them, and that you would just give the rabbis boldness and fearlessness, that they would not be people pleasers, that they would preach by the Spirit and preach the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless our leadership, our executive leadership, with vision, boldness, and direction, Lord, that they would guide us and lead us in the path that we should go, and direct us, give us vision, and that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, if there be among them, and bring us the spirit of Eliakim, of humility and fatherhood. Lord, remove those who are in it for power and control, and lord it over people, and bring us people with vision who are fathers, who love the rabbis and love the people. And I pray that they would intercede for us, Lord. You know, we tithe, you know, we give them to be members, you know, of that network of the Messianic community. We ask that they would pray for us, Lord, that they would have groups of intercessors to pray for the Messianic leaders and the congregations. And we just pray, Lord, we thank you. We pray for this nation, Lord. Your word says to pray for our enemies. And, Lord, we pray for those who would wish to do harm, those who are against the Bible, those who are against God, those who are against worshiping him in any form when it comes to the name Jesus, Yeshua. Those who hate the name Yeshua. As Joel Chernoff prays, may the haters of Zion be destroyed. May the haters of Zion be destroyed, Lord, and may their plans be foiled. May their plans come to nothing, Lord. May the haters of Zion, Lord, and may the haters of life come to nothing, and may their plans be foiled and destroyed. In the name of Yeshua, we pray, Lord. May the haters of Zion, and may many of them come to know you through this, Lord. May they come to know you, Lord, as the darkness increases in the world. We pray for their salvation, that those who are chosen for salvation would come to know you. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we thank you, and we pray for our friends today. I have Karen Gaby on my heart. Lord, I pray for Karen, and that you would bless her, and you know what she's going through, taking care of her mother with her sister and working, and pray for the salvation of her kids, and you just give her the desires of her heart. We just pray your blessings on Karen, and we ask that we miss her. We pray you bring her back to us, Lord, and hallelujah. And we just pray, Lord, for anybody. Just raise your hand if you need healing today, if you need a touch. Lord, that you would just touch anybody who's raising their hand that needs healing today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Just touch mm-hmm. us, Lord, with your healing power. You never said no. When your people cried out to you, let's all say, Son of David.
Son of David.
Son of David.
Son of David.
Have mercy.
Have mercy.
Have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Son of David, heal us.
Heal us.
Heal your people, Lord.
Heal your people, Lord.
Heal us. Don't pass us by.
Heal. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, now bless the service, and bring forth your word, and let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Save your people, Israel, in this country and around the world, Lord. those the lost sheep from the house of Israel. We pray for their salvation. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Do the Abba Fathers.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Why don't you say it?
We're going to do the Abba Fathers today, Amidah portion. And do you have that one?
You want me to do it in Hebrew, you mean?
If not, I'll go back to Servant of the Lord. We'll just do Servant of the Lord. No.
No, she's just going to read the Servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. I'll get the tune for the Amidah next week. So you can do it.
Hallelujah. And we'll sing Amidah today. We'll sing like you said.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive their prayers and offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always be acceptable to you. See your return in mercy to Zion. Oh, deserving of all praise are you, oh Lord, who restores your divine presence.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vahed, Be'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר נכים אצלך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשחבך ובקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידך והיו לתותפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. I'm going to ask Joshua to carry the Torah, and William, if you'll back him up, and Anthony, if you want to come and open the ark.
Mi amor, pare. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Le'olam Vahed, Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain, Adonai Yibarech Et Amo Vashalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Shebatahim gam yachad, hine mato. Shebatahim gam yachad, hine mato. Shebatahim gam yachad, hine mato v'manayim. Shebatahim gam yachad. Hine ma tov u'manayim, shevetachim gam yachad. Hine ma tov, hine ma tov.
Hey, la 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 la.
Hine ma tov, hine ma tov.
Hey, la 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together
in unity, to dwell in unity.
La 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 la.
In unity, to dwell in unity.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
Lie, 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 lie,
lie. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Vayahi ben soharom vayomer Moshe kuna Adonai v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha.
Ki Mitzion Tetzet Torah. Ki Mitzion Tetzet Torah. Udvar Adonai Mi'Yerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorach.
Baruch Adonai
Hamrach Yolam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, Ve'natan Lanu et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
One, I think it's one of the greatest parshas in the Torah, because there are so many things in it. But God chose for this Torah parsha to be named Yitro, which is really Jethro. That is Moses' father-in-law. If you know anything about Jethro, you'll know that he was a Midian priest. He served with Pharaoh in Egypt, and he left and went to Midian. And he wasn't Jewish, and he didn't believe in God. So a lot of different things, but God chose him to name this parsha after today. And it's from Exodus chapter 19. And the half-Torah is from Isaiah 16. And I think, again, I'll say this is probably, I think it's one of the greatest parshas in the Torah, because it tells us about the giving of the Torah, which is a matrimonial ketubah, you could say. And it also tells us that God actually appears to the planet Earth. And there's three things about this. I think we understand that there is just one God, and we, as serving and loving one God, should also love his word, which would be his Torah, and we should also love the land of Israel. That would be not only the physical land, but also the Jewish people should be loved, because God tells us that if you love Israel, then God will bless you. If you curse Israel, God's going to curse you. Things are going to happen to you. So Israel has left and left the land of Egypt, and they're traveling. And of course, some things have happened. Moses is married, has a couple of children, I believe, as we go forward here in this portion here. But back to Jethro, you see, he saw God destroying Pharaoh's army, because at one time he was part of Pharaoh's governing bodies. He was an advisor to Pharaoh. He also saw, after they went over the Red Sea and traveled, that he defeated the pagans Amalek, which is one of the commandments that's later on in the Torah, that we are to destroy Amalek. That's in Deuteronomy, I believe, is where it's at. And Amalek waited until Israel had passed, and they attacked Israel from the rear, where the older folks and young children and families were easy to be attacked, and that's who they chose to attack. They didn't attack the front line. They attacked it at the rear. And so God placed this Torah, placed a mitzvah upon them that we should never forget them. But during all this, Yitro, or realizes that there is only one God, and the God of Israel is the greatest God there is. That's the only one that there is. So he believes in God, and he does sacrifice to accept the God of Israel. And so he, what's so important about this Torah portion also is with Yitro is that Moses was trying to contain and control 2.5 million people, and it's hard to control two people alone, 2.5 million. So Yitro advises Moses. He says, find competent people that know the laws and will serve to help you guide this 2.5 million people. So he was very important, because without Yitro helping Moses decide on the people that would serve him, it gave him time to serve God. And that's what God wanted him to be there, to serve him and to follow what God was wanting to do for that day. So God does that, and Moses moves on, and he starts doing things for the Lord. And we find that, you know, as we move this Torah portion forward, we find that they've moved to a part around where the Torah is going to be given, and that's Mount Sinai. And God, you see, God is leading the Israelites to become a kingdom of priests. That's what he wanted them to be. And he's telling us today that the letter will kill you, but the Spirit gives you life. And so God is going to give the Torah to the Jewish people today. He wrote it with his finger. I think it's better known maybe as Ten Davarim, which is the 10 words. And it tells us that God wrote them with his finger. And when you looked at those commandments, or the Davarim, you could see them whether you were standing behind them or in front of them. They were transparent, and you could see from the front or from the back. And it's really, when you realize that, and when you look at this Torah portion as a whole, you realize that what God was doing was giving the Jewish people a ketubah, which is a marriage license or a ceremony. As part of Judaism, it's customary for the groom to write the ketubah, which is the marriage vows, if you want to call them that. And so that's what God was doing when he put together this Torah and put together for the 10 Davarims. But God tells Moses before that, Moses made 3 trips up to Mount Sinai, and he instructs the Israelites to take a bath and put on clean clothes. That's part of the things in a ketubah or in a marriage or Jewish ceremony that they do. They dress and put on the clean clothes. So that's what God told them to do, because he says, I'm coming down to Mount Sinai. And he's coming with his Hashkakina. He's coming. And he says, don't touch the mountain, for you will die. And we see in Joel 2, which is talking about the end times, it says there will be great darkness in that day. There will be thunder and lightning, and the great shofar will blast. And it's a shadow, really, of the second coming of Yeshua, as we see today on this Torah portion, that God comes with the same sounds. And fire comes upon the mountain. And again, back to Mount Sinai, these guys that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I can't remember now, about doing the archaeological studies and excavations there in Saudi Arabia, they have found where Mount Sinai is at, and the very top of that mountain. You can go out on Google or National Geographic, and you can see this mountaintop that God came down upon, and the top is totally charred, it's black, and they say it's like black glass because of God coming down upon that mountaintop, and it melted the top of the mountain. And you can see it on, if you go out and you can Google it and take a look at it. Of course, it's off limits to people now. You can't go and visit that, but I often thought I'd like to have a rock from there, but you know, I don't guess I'll get one today. It's because you can't go there anymore. They won't let you. But while God comes down, and it's a scary moment. If you could only imagine the Israelites seeing God come in the person. And Moses sees God panim to panim, which is face to face. And so, but after this happened, but the people, Moses went back up again to get those commandments. And of course, God gives him the commandments. But the people, while this was going on, became very troubled, because Moses was gone for 14 days, And they often wonder, did he die? You know, what happened? Because they've just seen God coming from the heavens down. And so they convince Aaron to take all the gold, or take some of the gold that they have, and to make for them an image. They wanted to have a physical God that they could see and they could touch. And so they came up with the idea, make us a golden calf. And that's what they say came out of the fire, was a calf. If you know anything about the Egyptians, a lot of their statues and things have a calf's head on their body. So it was cut. They sort of was familiar with the golden calf, with its head being there. And so they began to have just going completely nuts there. And God, you know, after he's telling Moses to go down there, he goes down and destroys the Ten Commandments. But before he destroys them, God tells Moses what those ten Devarims are, what he's expecting them to do. And the first one, I think, is the most important. I always say you have to get it right before you can go to the other nine. You got to get the first one. You got to get through the first one first. And it says, I am your God. And the second one says, there are no other gods before me. You're to make no graven image. You're not to bow down to anything. And my mercy is forever. It's forever and ever. It will never go away. The next one was, you shall not take my holy name in vain. That is vanity, speaking the vanity of God's name in an unholy name. The fourth one was, he says, God told Moses to set aside and remember the Shabbat. He says the Shabbat is of the Lord your God. And I rested on the sixth day. And I mean, I'm sorry, I worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And so God says, I am blessing and sanctifying the Shabbat because it is holy unto me and it should be holy unto us. Sunday is the false day. That is not the day that God prescribes in his word. It is on the Shabbat, which is God's day, which is from Friday night at sundown to Saturday night at sundown. That is God's day. I often wonder when God comes if people are going to go to church on Sunday, because he may not be there. I'm just saying that. He could be there on Saturday and you'll miss out, because his Shabbat is holy because he sanctified it. So it's a holy day. And I think what God will be telling us today is that if you keep the Shabbat, which we're doing today, you are like diamonds on the wedding band that God has. You're his diamonds because you are observing his Shabbat. It's special. No one else is doing it. We're here today to observe his Shabbat. So it's a day of blessing to everyone that observes the Shabbat. Then he tells us to honor your father and mother. He promises that this is the only one of the Devarims that there is a promise that God says he will extend your days. And what he's telling us is that when he says to honor, that doesn't mean you always agree with your parents. They may have different political views, or they may drive a different car that you don't particularly care for. But you are to honor them and give them, you know, a place of honor in your home. And when they come, give them the best table, seat at the table, and the best of the food. And remember them at their birthdays and anniversaries, things like that. And that's why God is saying you honor them and recognize them for the day things that they have done, because they were the ones that birthed you into life. And the next one is, do not take a life, because we don't have a life to give other than our own. We're not supposed to take another life. And that's talking about murder. It's not talking about a place of war where people are killed, but it's talking about taking someone's life without a concern or anything like that. The next one is, do not take a woman in adultery. Adultery is a sin that I think leads and guides to all other types of sins. When someone is involved in an adulterous situation, they have a tendency to go to do other things, that and it makes other things come available to them. God, the next one, God says, do not take what is not yours. That's saying do not steal something from someone. The next one is, do not bear a false witness. When you bear a false witness, you're stealing or taking a person's character. You're destroying the person's character by becoming a false witness. And the next one is, you shall not covet. That would be desire or expectations. Usually with when we have great expectations, we have great letdowns. And God is telling us that anything that belongs to your neighbor does not belong to you. And for many years, there's been a popular saying among a lot of churches and things on television. It says, name it and claim it, and it'll be yours because God's going to give it to you. But that is a false doctrine. That is a doctrine of self-gratification. And that's what God is saying. Do not covet. Be happy with what God gives you. And God won't give you anything you don't need. And he won't give you more than you need. And that's why I always said I'd never make a millionaire, because I couldn't probably handle it. So God's kept me where he's at. And that says a lot to us, just to be content with what God has given you and to be happy. And I was going to talk about the marriage, but I don't think I need to probably move on this morning so we can get into God's word this morning. But have a great one thing I did learn this week about two-faced. I read a little thing. I knew about this several years ago. A famous Jewish lady said that if you're going to be two-faced about everything, at least have one of the faces will be attractive. So I think that's a very good policy to have. We see a lot of that in the news and in things on television today. And by the way, that Jewish lady was Marilyn Monroe, in case you're wondering who that was. Share some Moshe, leaf nay b'nay Israel, lopi Adonai,
ve'ad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to skip the one song because I have a schedule, unfortunately, to be out of here, so I want to get to the worship, and then I'll leave you with the word of with Rabbi today, and you can take care of him for me for the rest for my trip. And I appreciate your prayers. I do have training that I'm going to Monday and Tuesday, so I appreciate your prayers for those days. But just a couple of quick announcements. First, I want to just say welcome to everyone online, and thank you for joining us. Hope that you will let us know how things are going. If you'll call the office and leave a message, or talk to the secretary, she'll be happy to chat with you. And if there's any prayer needs, please let us know. You know, just let us know so that we can lift you up. And sign up for our newsletter. I think you can do that on the site there. So go over there and sign up for the newsletter. So welcome. We have Stephen back with us here in the house, and I just want to welcome him. And he's been with us on prayer one night, and so he's really just great to have him. Praise the Lord. Speaking of newsletters, I want to remind you that Rabbi is preparing to write the next one. And so if you'll just keep the ear to the ground, those of you who know about it, will be called to come in. And if anyone watching, if you'd like to serve, if you'd like to come down for a day and get to know us and just hang out, we have a great time. Please, again, call the office, leave a message, or talk to Miss Vicki, and she will give you all the information about when you can come to serve. And it's really a great time when we put the newsletter together. We put all the addresses on, we stuff them and tape them, and listen to music and pray for each other, and then we have a nice lunch. So please come in, and if you can, come and join us on those days. And it'll probably be during a day from 10 o'clock till 4 anytime. But Miss Vicki will let you know what the days are. So you need to let us know if you'd like to, and then if that works in your schedule. Also reminder that Purim is coming up the end of this month. And that's the 25th and 26th. Actually, we'll probably celebrate it. Well, I'm not sure yet. We still don't know yet. But the 25th and 26th is a feast of Purim, or where we celebrate the story of Esther. And we have discussed having a second episode of the Real Housewives of Shushan. So I want to ask if we could have like a phone meeting. I may not be able to be here, but those who are interested in that, especially you, Maria, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, we could have a phone meeting about the next episode. Can we do that? Okay. Okay. So we'll get together on that, and we may have a special service. Just stay tuned. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yes. Miss Carol is not here today, as Rabbi mentioned. And we were supposed to do, we were planning to consecrate oil and do some prayer intercession on the grounds of our synagogue here. God's kind of given us directions and directives for our intercessory prayer. And you know that engine is really revving up. I feel God just doing awesome things. So if you're not ready for deep worship and deep prayer, then you know, don't come. But if you want to pray, if you want to be involved in prayer, we invite you and to be on the phone or here in person, however Miss Carol does it. But those of you who did bring olive oil, if you want to come and bring it to the altar now, we can just set it on the altar, but we're going to postpone our intercessory prayer for probably next Shabbat. But we can go ahead and bring our offerings to the altar. I think Miss Carolyn already did. Did you come up already? Yes. And Rabbi is going to consecrate the oil, and we're going to consecrate it with worship. And then we'll be using this oil for prayer and for doing some things that God directs us to do. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to... Any other important things? Anything else that Yeshua may bring up or Rabbi will be brought forth at the end of the service or while Rabbi speaks? Anything else? Hallelujah. Back to you, offering.
Shabbat shalom. I'm glad to see y'all here, and I'm really proud of you. You know, I talk to people around the country, and, you know, I've talked to family, and I was talking to my sister the other day. She's in her 70s, and she's horrified to go out. She needs a car, and I said, there's a shortage of cars. I don't know if y'all folks all know that. When the COVID came, they didn't expect a demand. They didn't expect people moving out of the cities needing cars. So because they didn't plan, you know, the big car companies didn't plan on people needing cars, they didn't order the chips, the microchips that the cars need to run these days, okay? So they didn't order them, so now there's a shortage of microchips. So this probably, if you're an investor, might be a good time to buy microchips stock because it's all gone down because they don't have anything to sell. It's bound to go back up, but right now it's down. So, but that's not the point. The point is there's going to be a shortage. There already in some places there is a shortage of cars, there's going to be a shortage of cars. Car prices are going to go up. So if you need a car, this would be a good time to get one. If you need to buy one, this would be a good time to get a car. The other thing I want to mention is, so I was talking to my sister, and she's terrified to go out. Because they've got her up north, those folks, they've got them terrified of the COVID. And she's in her 70s. She won't go out, you know. And so I'm so proud of you guys who come out, who are also many of you in your 70s and same age as my sister, you know, some of you, who go out and come to service. We have never had a case of COVID here in our congregation. We've never had anybody get sick here, and since the whole thing started last year, we've never had anybody get sick here in the congregation. People associated with us have gotten sick through other, you know, outside sources like their churches and stuff, but not anybody who attends here has never gotten sick with COVID, and it's never been in the house. God has prevented the plague. He's kept the plague out of the house. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. So, you know, we want to invite you to come. I'm not going to start naming all kinds of names of people that won't go out and worship, but there's lots of congregations that are just dried up because people are afraid. And you don't have to fear. No. Trust the Lord. You know, put your faith, put on your armor, read Psalm 91, trust God, social distance, wear your mask, and you'll be fine, you know. And go out and worship. Stop. Don't sit home. Go out. And if you're looking for a place to worship, come join us. We welcome you. As long as you have a sincere heart and you come to really learn and to worship, we welcome you. You don't have to be Jewish. You just have to love the Lord. And if you're willing to learn, we're willing to teach you. So come on down and... Anyway, we're going to take our offering right now. Father, we just pray that you bless the givers and bless the gifts 100-fold. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and that you bless us. When we give to you, you give back far more than we could manufacture. Lord, we can't match what you give us when we give to you. And I've always been a tither. Since I learned about tithing, I've always been a tither, and I've always been a giver. And God has blessed me abundantly because I'm a giver. And I say that to you, young men: learn to be givers, and you'll be getters. You'll receive. If you learn to give, you'll get. That's how it works in life. As a man sows, so shall he reap. If you sow a little, if you give a little, you get a little. If you sow a lot, you get a lot to the kingdom, to God's work. And so we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua for these gifts. Folks online, if you want to participate, there's a donate button right there online. You can give. And we just thank you for supporting this ministry. God bless you and multiply your gift 100-fold in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
And the offering box is in the back, and there's a basket there for those people in need. If you have spare change, there's a basket there so we can help people in need. Thank you.
Sing a new song. How long?
sing this song.
Hallelujah.
Be it Li Share Tzedek Avova Modeya.
Give him glory. Open up the gates of righteousness. Open, open up the gates of righteousness. Let me in to worship Hashem. Open up the gates of righteousness. Let me in to begin again. Bituli Sharet Tzedek.
Shall come and worship thee for thy glory.
la 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 la
We need Carolyn in the monitors a little bit. Hallelujah. He may go aleinu chai. Behold, our Redeemer lives.
He may go aleinu. He may go aleinu chai.
He may go aleinu chai.
Behold, our Redeemer lives.
He may go aleinu.
Gathered in Jerusalem. There's over 700 verses in the Old Testament and a lot of verses even in the New Testament talking about being gathered in Jerusalem, gathered in Israel. Hallelujah. Praise Him.
Let me say, Adonai,
Adonai
is my God.
Is my God.
Hallelujah. One more time. Adonai,
Adonai
is my God.
Is my God.
Behind the veil, Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel, come with your wisdom and power, clothed in your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come a conquering. You alone are God every time.
here Jerusalem waits. Praises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates song to sing you arise.
Arise.
And all of Zion sings. Baruch Abba. Fill me up, My heart can't be filled enough. Fill me up, fill my cup. Lord, pour out your ruach.
Let's just reach out to him. Ask him to fill up your cup today with the ruach, the spirit. The spirit of life. The only thing that can bring us life and satisfaction is the Lord God Almighty.
I need your nearness, oh God, so desperately. Come, hold me closer and don't ever leave. Be filled enough. Fill me up, fill my cup. Lord, pour out your ruach. Fill me up, fill me up. My heart can't be filled enough. Fill me up, fill my cup. Lord, pour out your ruach. Your ruach, pour out your ruach. Baruch Hu.
shalom, ruach
in the Lord's table. We call it the Shulchan Adonai, or some people call it communion. Just get yourself some fruit of the vine and some crackers or matzah, and as well, you're getting, folks at home are getting your stuff, I'm going to consecrate the oil. We have been praying almost every day, at least 6 days a week for 3 weeks now, and our congregation, we've had visitors come, praying people have come and joined us, friends of our ministry, and people in the congregation. Some have been one night, some have been five nights, some have been almost every night, and I've been about three or four. I haven't been feeling well, but haven't been able to stay up long enough to pray, but we have I guess a call was given, we're going to anoint our property and anoint the building, and the Lord brought us oil, the people brought oil in obedience to the Lord in abundance. We have a lot of oil here. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So we're going to consecrate it and lift it up to Adonai. Hallelujah. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Shabbashamayim. I just lift up this olive oil to you. I consecrate it in the name of Yeshua, the Most High. Malachei HaRuach HaShalom. Malachi HaShalom, King of Peace, Spirit of Peace. We just consecrate this oil in the name of your name, Yeshua, in the name of Adonai. We consecrate this oil in the name of Yeshua. We set it apart, Lord, for holy purposes in the name of Yeshua. We're going to be doing a lot of anointing, I can see. Hallelujah. And we set this oil apart and consecrate it in Yeshua's name. Malachi HaShalom, King of Peace. Ruach HaShalom, Spirit of Peace. Peace be upon you, Child of God. Peace be upon you, Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Peace be upon you. We consecrate this oil in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. We set it apart for holy purposes. And in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this awesome oil. And we just praise God what you're doing in this congregation and the way you're moving through our prayers. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank my lovely wife, Rebetzin. And I'm going to ask for your prayers. Josh, could you get my chair, honey? I went to the doctor, and for the first time, I've been taking a very toxic chemotherapy now for about four months. And my liver has never given me trouble, but this last test, my liver enzymes were up. They were above normal. And I have been extremely sleepy. And so finding it hard to get things done that I need to do. Just feeling some pain in my side. I'm not turning yellow. That's good. That's a very good sign. But they're concerned that it's the chemo. And the thing about the chemo is that it's working. It's killing the cancer. But they wanted to raise the dose of the chemo, but they couldn't. And so, you know, I need your prayers. It's serious. That my liver enzymes go down and that my liver restores to normal. That's very critical. I asked the doctor. He's very matter of fact, and he's from China, and he's a very nice man. And I asked him. I said, "Doctor, when I first met him, I said, I understand in China that they use a lot of holistic treatments and naturopathic medicine. Is that true? Do they, have that kind of treatment in China for cancer?" And he said, "Yeah, a lot of people do that stuff." He said. I said, "So what do you think of it?" He said, I don't like it." He said, "They all die." He said, "That's why I come here." He said, "I come here because they all die in China." And then he said to me, "So then the other day when I was talking about my liver, I said, so have you ever had, what happens with any patients taking this medicine that I'm on, they ever have to go to the hospital?" He said, "Yeah. The two of them went to the hospital." And I said, what happened to them?" "They die." So that's what he said. Well, I'm not them. I'm not them. And I don't receive it. But I get a kick out of this guy. He just, he's like, he's just very matter of fact about it, They die. And but it's serious. It just shows you it is serious. And I need your prayers for strength, in my body to overcome this tiredness. And I think the chemo just does weird things to the body. Anthony can probably testify to that. He's had chemo several times, I think. And it just does terrible things to your body. And sometimes you're going through good periods, and sometimes you just want to, it's like the hair salon. You just want to curl up and die. I'm just kidding. Curl up and dye your hair. I was in Fort Lauderdale, and there was a hair salon called Curl Up and Dye. But. All right, we're gonna go to the Lord's table. No, it was a spirit of dyeing your hair. I didn't mean death. I meant dyeing your hair. But and the colors these days, you know, Lady Gaga's aged about 60 years. And I'm thinking of you know, since, you know, things are changing in the world, I'm thinking of becoming a singer and calling myself Lady Goo Goo. Oh, dear. What do you think? No. You don't like it? All right, I'll stay Rabbi Joe then. I was just kidding. Mr. Magoo Goo? Rabbi Magoo? Rabbi Goo Goo? Okay. Enough of that. Get me started. We're going to the Lord's table in all seriousness. And so on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup, third cup of the Passover meal, and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And that was the cup of redemption, which every Jew knows is the cup taken after the meal. And then he took the afikomen at Passover, which is the piece of matzah, of bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And it's also taken after the meal with the third cup. Interestingly, this is the origin of our communion service. It comes from the Passover meal, and the Jewish people still do it today. They take the cup of redemption and they take the afikomen together, but they call it dessert. They don't, Jews who don't believe in the Messiah or the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, they just call it dessert. But we know that it represents, Yeshua said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and this bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Lord, what you did for us accomplished healing. You said, by your stripes we are healed. We were healed, Peter said. Amen. Not are healed, we were healed. You said that you took our sins, so we receive forgiveness of sin by this what you did for us on the cross, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of hundredfold blessing in this life. If we leave everything, Mark 10:29, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake that you promise us a hundredfold return, if we give up our lives, lay down our earthly lives, when you call us, like you called the rich young man, you know, when you call us, or when you called Peter and Matthew and John and all, and they followed you, and I've given up my life to follow you, and you promise a hundredfold return. Hallelujah. And so thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you offer us. We just take this cup, B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. L'chaim. Hallelujah. My captain is leaving. Thank you, Bing. I love you. I pray, just pray, Lord, that you give your angels charge over Rebbetzin as she travels, that you keep her safe and let her flights be uneventful. Give her success in her training. Help her to study. Help her to be ready for her tests and all that she has to do. We just thank you that you prepare her and take away her stress, give her rest. And she knows this. She knows what she's doing. She knows what the tests are. She knows what's coming. She knows it. And she just always doesn't think she knows it, but she does know it. Help her to believe. And help her to study. Help her to get it done quickly. And give her success and bring her home to us. Bring her home soon in Yeshua's name. Keep her safe. Watch over her. Amen. Let's give it up for our Rebbetzin. Will you be with us next week? No. Okay. Get the hologram ready. Okay. It's time for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Which means it's time for the Facebook camera. And today's message is the Super Blood Moon and the return of the Jews from the West. Hallelujah. The Super Blood Moon. It's not just the Blood Moon, the Super Blood Moon and the return of the Jews from the West. Now, I'm going to wait for Mr. Isaac before I get into this, but let's pray for the word while we're waiting for Isaac to get it ready. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, that you empty me of Joe, that you fill me with your message. And help me speak what you would, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight through Yeshua, my Savior and my Messiah. Amen. And while he's getting that ready, I just want to say, if you watch the news, I've been watching Tucker Carlson at 8 o'clock on a certain station that they're trying to take off the air. Guess which one that is. Yeah. And so Tucker was talking Thursday night, and I highly recommend you go back and watch the show Thursday night show. Every night is good, but Thursday night was particularly enlightening because he talked about essentially that the efforts of those in power to make people, if you don't agree with them, if they consider you a threat to them, to call you a homegrown terrorist. And so they've launched it appears they're launching, you know, a campaign using all, the CIA is not supposed to come against the American people. The FBI but they're using all of intelligence they've gone through social media, and they have looked at any soldiers or people applying for the military who have anything that speaks against the and I'll tell you when to start. Okay, they've gone through social media accounts, and they're kicking soldiers out of the military who show support for Trump on their in their past, in their social media history, which is an invasion of privacy. And they're not promoting them; they're kicking them out. They're not taking them into the military. All these things they're talking about on the news hasn't really come to us yet, but it's coming. And there are 7,000 troops. That's almost as many troops as were in Afghanistan and Iraq in recent times. You know, there were about 3,000 troops in Afghanistan and about 3,000 troops in Iraq recently. So they have in the capital in Washington D.C. stationed. They say till March, but I heard a retired military guy on the news, on another news program, say, he was being interviewed, he said, watch, they'll be there way past March. They're not there because of that, you know, whatever event thing that happened at the Capitol. They're not there because of that. They're there because they have things planned for, I suspect they have things planned for certain people, undesirable people, irredeemable, deplorable, smelly Walmart shopping people, Trump supporters, Bible believers, people who believe in life, and they have plans, and they know that, and Tucker Carlson pointed this out, he said, they want to, protect themselves from backlash because they know it's going to cause somebody to go nuts. You know, all this attack on, if you're, How can you? This is America, guys. How can you be an enemy of the state just because you supported Donald Trump for president? You know. And the other thing is, they are. It's like the president's going to come out tomorrow night, and he's going to say on 60 Minutes before the Super Bowl. I know this because I see the news. He's going to say in his interview tomorrow night that Donald Trump. All presidents get security briefings. You know, they get. Security, you know, special CIA type, you know, security briefings. They want to take his away. You know, he's not worthy because he can't. They think he can't handle it. The guy that made peace with like five countries in the Middle East, the guy who lowered our taxes, the guy who took us through COVID when nobody else knew what it was. You know, who led the country through it and had those meetings and encouraged our hearts night after night on TV with Lord Fauci and so forth. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Do we, you know, he built ventilators. He got General Motors building ventilators and Honeywell building ventilators, and we made thousands and thousands of ventilators that we didn't have, and all these companies, our factories went to work, and we gave those ventilators to New York and to California, and what thanks did he get? He got told that he didn't respond well, you know, to the thing. But anyways, let's bring forth the word. Okay, and we're going to start with Facebook. We're going to welcome our Facebook friends. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, Facebook friends. Hallelujah. I'm Rabbi Joe, and is the name of our the message on there, and then is the website. Do you see it? You don't see it? Isaac, did you put the website and the name of the message on there? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we want to welcome our Facebook friends. This is Rabbi Joe. Today's message is the Super Blood Moon and the Return of the Jews from the West. Now, this is a two-year-old prophecy. What I'm reading you today, I wrote in January of 2019. But there's a reason I'm reading it. I think you'll get it when you hear it. We've had a lot of blood moons, starting with the tetrads. That was the four blood red moons, one on Passover, one on Sukkot in 2014, one on Passover, one on Sukkot in 2015. First time that happened, four consecutive blood red moons like that on the same days, year after year, in 500 years, since around the time of Columbus and the Spanish Inquisition. I think it was around 1492 is the last time. It's going to be a long time, hundreds of years before it happens again. But there was a super blood moon in January. A rabbi, and this is back in 2019, a rabbi in Israel prophesied, predicted, whatever you want to call it, that the super blood moon of January 20th, 2019, that's what it was called. You can look it up. The super blood moon that took place on January 20th, 2019, it was visible over North and South America and Western Europe, but not Israel. Not Israel. Is both a sign of the increasing of swords. This is what the rabbi said. He's not a believer, but he teaches on prophecy. A sign of war, according to the Talmud, Sukkah 29a. This is a common understanding to both Jewish and Christian interpretations of a blood moon. I spoke on the four blood red moons of 2014 and 15 to 1,000 people at an international conference in Pennsylvania, at an international messianic conference. Jonathan Kahn was there that year. He's there every year when before COVID. And Sid Roth was teaching that year, and Joe Bell was teaching that year, and I was teaching on the blood red moons. The major theme of my message back then was about war and judgment of the nations. Since the recent super blood moon was visible only in the West, Rabbi Yekutiel Fish is his name, a non-believer who studies Old Testament prophecy, was predicting a time of war and tragedy for Western nations. because in the general thought and belief about blood moons, not only the one in Matthew, the coming of the Lord, or the one in Joel, where it talks about the sun shall be darkened and the moon won't give its the sun won't give its light and the moon will be darkened, or vice versa. I may have it backwards, but you know what I mean. And so anyway, my point is, praise the Lord. So I taught on the blood red moons, and I'm gonna teach on this today, this prophecy and how it relates. And this is what Rabbi Fish said. So let's see, let's go continue. So he said. So the major theme of my message back then was about war and judgment of the nations. Since the recent super blood moon, again, this was back on January 20th, 2019, which had a super blood moon, was visible only in the West, Rabbi Yekutiel Fish, an Old Testament prophecy scholar in Israel, was predicting a time of war and tragedy for Western nations, including the USA. In an article published by Breaking Israel News, Rabbi Fish stated, "Western nations are about to enter an extremely challenging era. There will be great tragedies that will bring down governments and great human suffering. For the Jews who are still in exile, the only way they can avoid tragedy is by coming to Israel." And I would add to that, for anybody, the only way you can avoid it is by going to Israel, not just the Jews. Excuse me. Although right now people say to me, they say, "Rabbi Joe, it's just the Jews that can go. You have to have faith that God will take you. If you're His child, that He'll make a way for you too. You have to believe. You have to have faith that and want to go. You know, you have to tell the Lord, 'I want to go.' Say that, 'I want to go. I want to be on that plane. I want to be on that boat. I want a ticket.' Amen. Yeah. I want a place to stay. Yes. You need to keep asking the Lord that in your prayers. We prayed, 'Open Pichuli, Shari Sedek, open the gates of righteousness. Open the gates of righteousness of Aliyah to me, Lord. To all of us." Amen? Amen? So that's his message to the Jewish people in Europe and the Americas, Rabbi Yekutiel Fish, was to come home to Israel in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now, I don't believe in coincidences, but 19 years ago, actually 20 years ago, I wrote an article entitled "The Second Exodus, Part 1. Here's actually Part 2, but I have Part 1 also. And if you contact my ministry, we'll send it to you. Just go to our website. You can get our. I think Part 2 is on the archives of my newsletters, but you can get Part 1 by contacting our ministry. I don't believe in coincidences, but 20 years ago, I preached this message on the Second Exodus. I eventually wrote a series of 3 articles predicting a time of great distress soon to come upon the Jewish people living in the West. What is the West? Anything west of Israel is the West. Anything east of Israel is the East. Okay? So the Middle East is Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, you know, Syria, and so forth. That's the Middle East. And then you get to like India, maybe, I don't know, Persia, it would be the Far East. I think Persia would probably be considered the Far East. And India and China and Malaysia and Indonesia and all that is the Far East. And Vietnam and so forth, Mongolia, that's the Far East. But Israel is the Middle East. We are the West. Europe, United States, we are the West. Okay? So I wrote a series of 3 articles predicting a time of great distress soon to come upon the Jewish people living in the West. We have entered a time of increased anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitic hate crimes are up over 60%. Mind you, this was 2 years ago. Percent from a year ago, from 2000. Go to ADL, Org for statistics on anti-Semitism. In the Women's March, anti-Semitism in the Women's March, they had a Women's March where they told the Jews they were anti-Semitic. They spoke against a lot of the women marching in the Women's March, which was a kind of a national organization for women type group. It was out in California. And it was anti-Israel. They brought the Jews into it, you know, and a lot of the Jewish people helped sponsor the march. There were Jewish women who were very involved in it. They were very angry. You can Google this, of the anti-Semitism in the Women's March of 2019, to see what I'm talking about. Now, 20 years ago, I predicted a time of distress and tribulation in this article, but I also pointed out that such a time would mean distress and trouble for Christians too. For example, after 9/11 terrorist attacks, a realtor friend in Baltimore told me that thousands of New Yorkers, both Jews and non-Jews alike, were leaving New York City because of the terrorism, and today hundreds of thousands of middle and upper class Americans are leaving cities. I wrote this in January 2 years ago. It's happening now in a big way. In this past year, I wrote New Yorkers, tens of thousands of New Yorkers, both Jews and non-Jews alike, were leaving because of terrorism. Today, hundreds of thousands of middle-class Americans are leaving cities like Los Angeles, New York City, Boston, Baltimore, Portland, Chicago, Connecticut, states like Connecticut, Michigan, Seattle, Washington area. They're leaving, and they're coming to Texas, they're coming to Denver. The two most popular states they're coming to right now are Tennessee and Texas. My realtor friend here tells me there's no inventory of houses in Tennessee. You can't find houses go on the market. They're sold within 3-4 days. Or sometimes just, sight unseen. Yep, sight unseen. They're just sold. And they're getting incredible prices. The prices are skyrocketing for houses. The only thing is if you sell your house here and you sell it for $150,000 more than you sold it, than you paid for it, or $200,000, you're still not going to be able to afford a house in Florida or in some other state. So the best thing you can do is downsize. If you sell your house here, take a profit and downsize into a condo, which I highly recommend. Even if your home isn't in the best shape, you probably get more money for it now than you would a year ago or 2 years ago. Something to think about if you want to downsize. This would be a good time to do it. Get with a realtor. People are buying fixer-uppers, and they're fixing them up, but they're still paying top dollar. So there is a major... Now, back then I said people are leaving due to natural disasters and the high cost of living. Yes, they are leaving due to the high cost of living, but they're also leaving because they're fed up with the homeless situation in these cities, in Baltimore, in New York, in Los Angeles, San Francisco... tent cities, homeless people living in parks, burning fires, in their these little neighborhoods they're building, thousands of them. I don't know why they're allowing it. They allow it, but I don't understand it. Why they're not doing anything about it to help these people? They're just letting it happen, and it's terrible. But people are leaving because of that, because of the taxes, because they're letting criminals out. If you look in the news lately, they're letting murderers and rapists out of prison. In California, just in the news yesterday, the Attorney General of California is letting prisoners out, who murderers, rapists, serial killers. Letting them out and not even giving them hearings with lawyers, not even giving their victims a chance to bring a lawyer to fight the parole just letting them out, scaring the tar out of these people who are victims, and their families are terrified. I mean, so we're talking about a guy who committed sodomy on a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, talking about people who have raped 50 women and murdered and murdered one guy, murderers, just horrible stuff. And these people are being set free, and there's some of them are not even, they're just 50 years old, and they're in their 40s, and they're still strong men. So people are leaving due to these things that taxes are going up in those states, the COVID, businesses being shut down, people are leaving. I'm speaking now, not from what I wrote 2 years ago, and I'm speaking to you what's happening now. But I said this 2 years ago, not knowing what was going to happen, only knowing it was going to happen. I knew they were going to leave the cities. I knew they were starting to leave the cities. I didn't know why they were going to leave the cities fully. But now I can look back and say, well, it's because of COVID, because businesses have been shut down. People have been out of work. Homeless people are everywhere. Criminals are being let out. Taxes are being increased. People aren't being allowed out. And they're being so scared of the COVID that they're afraid to go out. Like my sister, I talked about, so they're afraid to go out. She's afraid to go out and buy a car. So I said they have companies you can order a car and they'll bring it to you and give you 7 days to return it if you don't like it. You know, that's what you can do. I mean, contactless car buying, if you're that afraid. I mean, can you imagine? These people are so afraid. I was talking to a cousin up north. She's around 73, 74. I was talking to her, and I said, she said she's terrified. I said, what are you scared of? She said, Trump supporters. I said, okay. I said, what are the people afraid of up there? She said, Trump supporters. And I said, those terrible, those scary Trump supporters. And I said, that's what they're afraid of. They have been conditioned to fear, like that guy Peter Strzok called us, Bible believing, smelly Walmart shopping, deplorable, irredeemable. Now they're calling Trump, Trump supporters. They're labeling them as some of them as terrorists if they consider you a domestic threat. Domestic threat. But they're not saying who. They don't know who's a domestic threat. What makes a person a domestic threat? And one guy got thrown in jail for something. I don't know what he did, They just locked him up. And anyway, so let's go on. So I predicted this was going to happen. I just didn't know all the reasons for it. So there's a major population redistribution going on, folks. I even heard one Maryland politician say that illegal immigrants from the south of the border were welcome in Maryland because citizens have left the state and they need workers to build a better tax base. They need workers. All these people moving out of Minnesota and Michigan and New York and California is depleting, and not only that, high-tech companies. Hewlett-Packard, Oracle, have moved out of California and moved to Texas. What other companies? Oh, yeah, Tesla moved out of California and moved to Texas. Big company, huh? Tesla, the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, owns Tesla, wealthiest man in the world, took his company, one of the biggest companies in the world, moved it to Texas. Florida is booming. I wish I had an opportunity to buy a house down there, a 3- or 4-bedroom house near the beach in Pompano Beach for like $350,000 or 2 years ago, and I didn't do it, and I'm kicking myself because that house would probably be worth $700,000 now or more, today. And I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy it, just as an investment to sell. Rent it out and sell it. Anyway, so much for beachfront. But those people are going to be leaving because, you know, God is calling us home and he's going to be taking people. Well, that's a story for another day. But right now, the major population centers of the country are in Florida and the South. The South is where the major population center of the country. And I said this 2 years ago. There is a major population redistribution going on. I even heard one Maryland politician. He said illegal immigrants from the south of the border were welcome in Maryland. That's why they're inviting them to come, and they're bringing them. They want them to come up to Washington D.C. and Michigan and New York. They want them to come up there and work because they need workers, you know, to do the things that Americans won't do, you know, and they need them. And they need them also for various reasons. This guy says to build a better tax base. Some speculate is also to enable immigrants to vote along the party line. I was watching a video somebody sent around on one of the social media things, and I have it from Mike Lindell, the head of MyPillow. He did an in-depth study, spent a lot of money. He's a rich guy, spent lots of money investigating and voter fraud in the election, and he showed proof of voter fraud, and he had experts come and testify and said that the servers for the machines, the voting machines, were in the biggest server was in Frankfurt, Germany, and that these machines were vulnerable to hackers, and what, you know, the other foreign countries led by China, that Dominion is owned by China, and he talked about people who are on the board. I'll be glad to forward this video to you if you haven't seen it, but you can just look up Google, you know, I don't know where you look it up, find Mike Lindell, you know, call MyPillow and ask how can I see Mike's video on the voter fraud, because I don't know, you know, where to tell you to go, what website. But anyway, absolute truth, absolute proof, video, Mike Lindell. Well, I'd say Google it, but I have a feeling Google won't bring you to it, you know. But maybe some web servers will bring you to it. So I use Norton LifeLock as my server, as my browser. Anyway, so immigrants are voting. They are voting. They're getting licensed. They're not citizens, but they're voting in this country, and that is a fact. They're just getting driver's licenses, and they're voting. That's all you need. Today, I would add natural disasters such as hurricanes, wildfires is another reason people are leaving California. Earthquakes and economic collapse to the mix as causes for Jewish people to leave the USA. Remember, the fundamental premise of this message is, and the reason for the super blood moon is, the Lord said there would be signs in the heavens. Amen? There would be, before the coming of the Lord and the great and terrible day of the Lord, there will be signs in the heavens. Hallelujah. And I will share that scripture on signs in the heavens when we go forward a little bit. But anyway, now, there was a government shutdown 2 years ago. Hundreds of thousands of SNAP card recipients were about to lose their benefits, but at the last minute, I think they stopped it. And I said, this may cause riots in the streets and looting in some places. Isn't that interesting? A former government analyst told me that when people go out without food for a few weeks, they may do whatever is necessary to eat. Then, of course, there are more wars likely on the horizon with Iran, which is acting up right now, they think actually has nuclear weapons now and is threatening the United States, is stopping shipping. Since Trump left office, Iran's gotten cocky, and they have started messing with shipping in the Persian Gulf because they don't fear us. They don't fear the United States, like, because the United States wants to be everybody's friend. The government in power now wants to be, just like the Obama government, wants to be everybody's friend. And we want to be liked by the world. We want to be part of the world. Trump was America first. You know, not that America's better, but let's focus. I'm the president of the United States, you know, he said, and I'm not the president. He said, I'm not the president of Germany. I'm not the president of France. I'm here to help America. America first, you know. But the current administration and the Obama administration, their attitude was the world first, America last. You know, and when you do that, what happens is the bad guys out there, like Russia and China and North Korea and Iran, they look at us as weak. And that's when they start acting up. In fact, just the other day in the sea between, what's that place where they make, in next to China, the island off of China, Taiwan. Taiwan, a normal U.S. destroyer, it's normal for a U.S. destroyer to sail between China and Taiwan just on routine patrol, and the Chinese start harassing the American ship. We did not see this kind of stuff with Donald Trump as president. We did not hear about, we did not have this problem of nearly as much. It's already starting. They're already starting to you know, pick a fight with us. And I guarantee you, you just watch, Taiwan's going to be attacked, just like they took down Hong Kong. The Chinese took over Hong Kong and have made it basically, essentially, it's an extension of China. They're going to do the same thing to Taiwan. Now, Taiwan has weapons. We've given them weapons, but you know, they're really no match for the Chinese. And who's going to save? You think America's going to save Taiwan? We get a lot of stuff. A lot of your stuff that says made in China is actually made in Taiwan. Taiwan is an ally of the United States. And you get stuff that says made in China. Some is made in China. Some is made in Taiwan. It all says made in China. You don't know, you know, but the fact is, Taiwan, we rely on Taiwan for a lot of stuff. They make a lot of stuff there for the United States. And anyway, so let's move on. They're in danger of being taken over, and I don't think we'll do anything to stop it. So I'd like to see it if we did. I mean, I'd like to see a strong, you know, instead of fighting Americans, I'd like to see our military fighting our enemies, real enemies. Amen? You know, that would be good. So did you know people that are really a threat? Did you know that with the... So I talked about the food stamps in China. Did I mention the great divide amongst Americans? I wrote this 2 years ago. Did I mention the great divide amongst Americans that could lead to great violence in the USA? I told you this was a prophetic word. I said this 2 years ago. Why do they have 7,000 troops in Washington? Are they anticipating great violence between Americans? Why are they keeping troops in Washington? And as one man was a former a U.S. military guy in intelligence, he was in military intelligence. He said, "Don't think they're going to leave in March. They say they're going to leave in March. It's already cost us $500 million to keep all those soldiers." When somebody, Tucker made the comment, Tucker Carlson said, 100 extra police officers at the Capitol would have stopped the whole thing that day if they had just actually done their job. And the head of the Capitol Police quit because the head of the military told him to stand down, told the Capitol Police to stand down, and told the National Guard, stand down, don't... You know, when they come to the Capitol, stand down, let them do what they want to do. So they did. And they, you know, they didn't stop them. And they've used that to make everybody who's not a Biden supporter an enemy. You know, I don't know. It's all part of the Great Reset. It's all, that's, which if you don't know what that is, you need to research it. The Great Reset is the New World Order. The name for the New World Order is the Great Reset. That's their name for it. It actually has a name now, and it's not the New World Order. It's the Great Reset, and it's coming by 2030. That's the goal. And I'm not going to teach on it today, but and I'm just going through this prophecy. This is what I said. So I said 2 years ago when I wrote this article that I mentioned a great divide amongst Americans that could lead to great violence in the USA. Could you see that happening? Violent protests have already been going on since the day of President Trump's inauguration, even before at pro-Trump rallies, where I recall seeing news footage of protesters wearing masks and beating Trump. This is even before I even knew what Antifa was. I saw protesters wearing masks and beating Trump supporters with clubs and spraying them with pepper spray, and they'd come out of a Trump rally, and the police would do nothing about it. In one headline, they cornered a poor woman. I saw this on TV. You probably saw it too. They cornered a poor woman who came out of a Trump rally, and she ran. They chased her, and she couldn't get in a locked door in the stadium, wherever it was, and she was trapped. And they threw eggs at her head, and they beat her. And she was just trying to leave a Trump rally. She found herself cornered, pelted with eggs, and threatened as the police just stood by and watched. I remember watching that on video 2 years ago. If you are a Bible-believing, church, synagogue-attending, pro-life supporter, believer in traditional marriage between a man and a woman, if you believe in the concept, if you even believe in the word man and woman, today it's wrong. It's not politically correct to say man and woman. For example, Nancy Pelosi is the chairwoman of the House. They call her Chair Pelosi. You know, instead of chairwoman, they call her Chair Pelosi. They won't say man or woman anymore. I mean, that's how where it's gotten. You know, so I just call them Klingons. But the zombies have arrived, folks. The zombies have arrived. If you believe in the Constitution and believe in traditional marriage between a man and a woman, if you believe in the Constitution, the right to bear arms, the right to free speech, a supporter of immigration, control with a border, wall, or fence, which is being taken down, then you have been labeled a racist. This is 2 years ago I said this. A Nazi worthy of being eliminated, in parentheses, killed, and having no rights to your property or wealth. White males are now also being labeled as toxic white males. Isn't that interesting how that has grown, the attack on white males, that white males are privileged? Even Bernie Sanders has been attacked because Bernie Sanders, and I'll tell you, you can look this one up, Bernie Sanders was canceled. You know the cancel culture where they block you from social media, they block you from getting your message out, cancel culture. Bernie Sanders spoke against white billionaires and privilege. You never hear guys like Elon Musk, might be a great guy, you never hear guys like Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett labeled, or any of those rich guys, you know, the super uber rich, Jeff Bezos, Zuckerberg, you never hear any of them labeled as white privilege people, do you? They don't label, you never hear, they're the good billionaires, okay? But I don't know who the bad billionaires are, but they're the good ones. They're not privileged. You are. I guess I am. Since I'm one of the only white male in here, adult, praise the Lord. I guess I'm white privilege. And according to them, they call me a racist, but I'm Jewish. They say that I fall into the category of a white supremacist, but the white supremacists hate my guts. So I think we should take a family picture of our half black congregation and Jewish congregation, half black and half Jewish, and who they call white supremacists. And isn't it ridiculous?
Yes.
Is it ridiculous or what?
Yes.
You know, I mean, yeah, I'm a white supremacist, and it's 25 degrees below zero in hell. Yeah, right. Okay, let's go on. You just can't label people. You know, I heard them talking about the White House the other day, and they were saying how the Biden White House they've made the White House the way a president should run the White House, not the way Trump ran the White House, but the way it's more presidential. It's all about appearances. It's all about the outward, not the inward. It's all about what's going on outwardly, the outward appearance of things. It doesn't matter that, you know, Trump made peace with four or five different countries, Morocco, United Arab Emirates, which is four or five countries in and of itself, Saudi Arabia and Israel. He brokered peace through his son-in-law. Trump brokered peace between Israel and those countries in the Middle East. I think he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for that. He's been nominated twice. Do you think he'll get it? I don't think so. You know, they are destroying. They're trying to destroy him, but they won't destroy him. They're actually just, you know, they think that, and I think it's wise for people not to. I don't. Listen, first of all, let me just say something about anointing. The Bible says in Daniel 2 that God raises up kings and he brings them down. Was Nero a good king?
No.
Was Caligula a great emperor?
No.
Okay, did God raise them up? Bible says so. God raises up every king. Read Daniel 2. Read Romans 13. All the authorities that exist. Turn to Romans 13. Let's see this for a second. I want you to respect the president. And I'm going to tell you why. And don't diss me until you hear what I have to say here. This is what God's word says. And I used to trash Bill Clinton for his Monica Lewinsky stuff in the Oval Office. I used to make fun of him and call, you know, make jokes, and the Lord convicted me and said that I was attacking his anointed. This is what Romans 13 says. Let every person, how many? Every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority. How many authorities? No authority except from God. And those that exist are put in place by God. So whoever opposes the authority has resisted God's direction, and those who have resisted will bring judgment on themselves, for leaders cause no fear for good behavior, but for bad. Now, if you do not want to fear the authority, do what is good, and you will get his approval, for he is God's servant to you, even if he's Caligula, Nero, Hitler, Stalin, Biden, Obama, whoever it is. God put him there for a reason. And you and I don't know what the reason is. Amen? We don't know what the reason why God puts tyrants in power or people that we don't like in power. But I saw one thing in this election. Whether Mike Lindell is right and there was voter fraud, I can't say there was or wasn't. I didn't see it. But Mike Lindell says he saw it. I can't say whether he's right or wrong, but even if he is right, it seemed that everything President Trump did to fight, you know, and to prove voter fraud, he was blocked at every turn. Now, if God wanted him to get in, he'd have gotten in.
Yeah.
Is God weak that he couldn't get in?
Yeah.
Is God so, is his arm too short that he couldn't save America? No. So let's look at Daniel 2 for a second, because I want you to get this in your spirit as you understand the government. Whether you like the government or you agree with the government or not, you're going to know what the Bible says about it. And so turn to Daniel 2 for a second. God's allowed some pretty... Herod, look at King Herod. He killed all the babies. He cut off John the Baptist's head. You know, he was a nasty guy. Everybody say nasty guy. He was a nasty guy. But so in Daniel 2, here I'm in Daniel 3, that's not going to help us. You see, you can't make Daniel 3 into Daniel 2 and so on and so forth. All right, so it says, trying to find the verse where Daniel says that God raises up kings and he brings them down. It says, let's start in verse 27. The mystery about which the king inquired is such that neither wise men, astrologers, magicians or sorcerers can disclose it to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar the things that will happen in the latter days. The dream and the visions that went through your head as you lay on your bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay on your bed, came thoughts about what will come to pass in the future. The revealer of mysteries has made known to you what is going to happen, but as for me, this mystery is not revealed to me, because I possess more wisdom than any other living person, but in order that the king may know the interpretation. And he goes on, he talks about the statue that the king saw, and then he said, I'm trying to find the specific verse, 37, thank you. In verse 37, O king, you are the king of kings, to whom God of heaven has given sovereignty, power, might, and glory wherever mankind and beasts. Actually, it's not the verse. I'm looking for one that says that God raises up kings and he brings them down. Thank you, though. See if we can find that one. Let's read on. I'm just reading through. All right. Well, that's not. It's one that it specifically says that God raises up kings and he brings them down. Can somebody Google that on your phone? Where it says God raises up kings and God brings them down. Anyways, I'll continue if somebody would do that, and I'll continue with my message. Thank you for trying, Sharon, but that wasn't the verse I was looking for. Anyway, so let's go on here. So forgive me, friends online, but I wanted you to see that verse, because I want you to know that all authority, as we read in Romans 13, is from God. Every authority. And every person must submit to the governing authorities. So whether you like, now that doesn't mean jump off a bridge. If the governing authority tells you to jump off a bridge or climb up like Superman, climb up a tall building, you know, and don't jump off. You know, don't follow leaders as they follow God. Amen. 21, verse 21. Thank you. Chapter 2, verse 21. Okay. Blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and installs kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. Amen. He removes kings and he installs kings. God is the one who puts men and women in power and takes them out. Do you understand that? And so, you know, we're so used to being at peace with the opposing parties in this country. You and I have grown up since World War II in a world that's been so full of peace in America. We don't, you know, can't relate to those who lived during the Revolutionary War, where their brothers, the British, were taxing them and were persecuting them. You know, their family, literally, and even in the Civil War, it was family against family. I mean, there were people that, you know, were on both sides. Just, there's people today that are on both sides of the issue in families, you know, and I, you know,
I'm on a different side than most of my practically everybody in my family. I've got about 100 relatives, except maybe two or three that believe as I do. Now, I'm friendly with people who don't believe as I do in my family, but we just don't talk politics and stuff, you know. But God raises up kings and he brings them down, and you would be well served to get that message. And so if you get that under your belt, good, then the best thing you can do, again, I'm not saying follow them over a cliff. Follow them as they follow God. If they ask you to wear a mask, wear a mask. That's not, you know, if Lord Fauci tells you to wear two masks, well, it's hard to breathe. I can't breathe with one thick mask and I'm toast. You know, I start getting like sweating and, you know, and Lord Fauci said to wear two masks. He says he wears them all the time, you know. But that's why he never grew. His growth is stunted because he wore two masks all his life. And I didn't. And that's why I'm 6'2". So, seriously. Now, there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask. You know what I mean? It's not a political statement. Around here, people don't like to wear masks. I almost feel like sometimes that people look at me like, well, that guy must be a Democrat because he's wearing a mask. You know, I'm serious. Do you feel that way?
Yeah.
That people are like, you must be a Democrat because you're wearing a mask. Yeah. Oh, don't trust that guy.
Yeah.
I go to some places and people get away from me like I have the cooties.
Yeah.
You know, they must think I'm a Jewish white supremacist. I'm actually black too. You just don't know it. But. Somewhere back there, you know. Somewhere out there, rabbis floating in the sky. Okay, let's go. Seriously, so white males are now being labeled as toxic white males. This is 2 years ago I said this. According to those on the far left, there is no place for privileged middle age and older white males. No place for us except to go to Israel, Jewish or not. Did I mention that they want to raise your taxes? Oh, they said they didn't. Remember, Joe Biden said, we're only going to raise people's taxes who make $400,000 or more. But then last week he said twice, well, sorry, we're going to have to raise everybody's taxes, middle class too, because we need your money. And they're going to raise middle class taxes. And upper class and lower class and people with no class and, you know, classy people, real housewives of everywhere, Long Beach, Orange County, Shushan, whatever. They're going to raise your taxes. Get ready. Hold on to your purse. Buy it now. There's talk on the far left of raising taxes on the wealthy to 70%. They tried that sort of thing under President Obama. They did raise taxes, but not just on the rich. They raised taxes on the middle class. I tell you now, if you're middle class and Trump is removed, you will be taxed. Remember those words. Even the Supreme Court defined Obamacare as a tax. My employees at the time, 2 years ago, back in 2016 when I owned a restaurant, my employees who couldn't afford to buy insurance for $700 a month or $1,200 if they had a family were forced to pay a tax. What employee making $8, $9, $10 an hour can afford $700 a month for insurance? Who, you know? So they ended up having to pay a tax and they didn't have health insurance. Why am I telling you this? Because God is calling the Jewish people back to Israel in accordance with biblical prophecy. And America has to be made uncomfortable to live in so Jews will want to go back. Because as long as Americans are comfortable, two things happen. One, when Americans are comfortable, they don't go to church, they don't get serious about God because they're just fat and happy. And you know, they don't need God because they They got everything else. They got Netflix, potato chips, pizza, and a couch, and a smart TV, right? So they don't need God. And they don't go to prayer meetings, and they don't, you know, they don't really take it seriously. Start taking things away from Americans or people in general. Start taking things away from them, and they get very serious about God. You know, make life difficult for them. Amen. The second reason is God is wanting to bring his people out of America, and Jews don't want to go back. Nobody wants to go to Israel where the income tax is 50% and the sales tax is 100%. Who wants to pay 100% sales tax? It means if you buy a $25,000 car, it's going to cost you $50,000. So they say if you want to make a small fortune in Israel, you need to come with a large one. Ba-dum-bum. They do say that. Bible teachers and theologians marvel at the rebirth of the nation of Israel and return of many Jews during the last century. They say God has fulfilled this prophecy, but did you know that the Bible says God will gather every Jew back to Israel? I have a question for you. If God already fulfilled his promise to bring the Jewish people back to Israel, as many Christian theologians teach, then why are there still nearly 7 million Jews living in the USA alone, self-included? If God, and a lot of Christian teachers teach, theologians and Bible teachers teach that God has already fulfilled his promise. It's done. He already brought the Jews back. Even John Hagee says this. Well, what about me? Hey, hello? You know, God says he won't leave one behind. He says it in his word. He's not going to leave one behind. He's going to bring us all. Hopefully not in a box. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what are we still doing here if the prophecy has been fulfilled? We Jews call our return to Israel from the nations Aliyah. Let me read to you God's word on this. Here is a verse promising to take us home to Israel, Ezekiel 39:23-29. The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity because they acted treacherously against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I shall restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I shall be jealous for my name. Remember I was talking about the times of the Gentiles ending and the times of the Jews starting? How can you visibly see when the times of the Gentiles are over and the times of the Jews are in, or when the times of the Jews are over and the times of the Gentiles are? I'll give you an example. When Israel is uninhabited like it was 120 years ago when Mark Twain went there in the 1880s, and Israel was a desolate wasteland, that was the time of the Gentiles. When you go now and you see 7 million Jews, it's the time of the Jews. When the Jews were exiled to Babylon, that was the time of the Gentiles. When the Jews were brought back from Babylon after 70 years, which was a picture of the 70th week of Daniel, by the way, it was a prophetic picture of that, of the forerunner of the... So when the Jews were brought back to Israel, the time of the Jews started again. That's the way it works. So when Israel is filled with Jews, it's the time of the Jews. When the Jews are scattered from Israel, it's the time of the Gentiles. Where are the Jews today? They're going back to Israel. Times are changing. Bob Dylan said so. Okay. So let's finish this verse here. So according to their uncleanness and according to our transgressions, my people, I dealt with them, God says, and I hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I shall restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I shall be jealous for my holy name. He says in Ezekiel 39:23-29, they shall forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God because I made them go into exile among the nations. Then I gathered them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer. How many? None. He will leave none of us here any longer. Hello. I'm one of, and these guys too. They're part of that group. You're going back to Israel, whether you know it or not. I don't know when, but he says he will leave none of you here, none of us. So he's going to bring us to Israel, whether we like it or not. And I don't know if it's going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or what. But it's coming. It's coming very soon. So, all right. And it's not me saying it. This is God saying it. I will leave none of them there any longer. That's Ezekiel 39, verse 23 through 29. For I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Jeremiah 31, 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. That's exactly what I'm declaring to you from afar off, because God called me to tell you this. Friend, there is coming such a fantastic exodus, or as we Jews call it, Aliyah of the Jews from the West, that Jeremiah spoke of it. Jeremiah 16, 14, he says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, Russia, from the lands where he had driven them, for I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish for them, and afterwards I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. We are living in the days of the hunters, folks. They haven't started hunting. Well, they have. The hunt has started around the world, but it's coming to America in a big way. And they will hunt people from the mountains and the hills out of the holes of the rocks. The prophet Hosea wrote, they, the Jews, will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west, and I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. The Jews, it's awesome. Hosea wrote that. They, the Jews, will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. That's Hosea, I think it's 11:10. And we will come trembling from the west, and he will settle us in our houses, declares the Lord. Jacob, in prophecy, is one of God's affectionate names for the Jewish people, the 12 tribes. The prophet Isaiah wrote of Aliyah, saying to Jacob, Isaiah 43, verse 5 through 7, do not fear, for I am with you, Jacob. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. That's us. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, that's you, and whom I have created for my glory. Hallelujah. Do you know that when I was a boy, we, the Jewish community, used to have annual phone-a-thons to raise money to buy a Jewish person freedom from the Soviet Union? For every $1,000 we raised, they would release one Jew. How sick is that? I remember making calls for several years when I was a young man, a teenager. There are many more verses I could share raising $1,000 to free a Jew from the Soviet Union. And they would only let out like 25,000 a year. It was limited, you know. There are many more verses I could share, but for lack of space, I will not do it. What about Christians? If you read 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, Moses is our pattern for those of us upon whom the ends of the age have come. Why Moses? Because God operates in patterns. Exodus 25, 40. See to it that you make them after the pattern for which God, which was shown to you on the mountain. Exodus 25, 40. God was referring to the pattern of the tabernacle. God also spoke of patterns in Acts 7, 44, Hebrews 8, 5, and Exodus 12, 38. We are told a mixed multitude of Gentiles also went up with them, along with flocks and herds. Those were Gentiles who joined with the Israelites and left Egypt. This will happen again. How, you say, God will make a way? Only believe and obey. That's all you have to do. Trust God and obey Him. Many Christians will return to Israel along with Messianic Jews. Why? Because it fits the pattern. Not to mention, who would want to stay in a country where portraits of Back then, I said portraits of Christopher Columbus are covered up at universities. Now statues are torn down of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, even abolitionists, Lincoln, and other abolitionists' statues have been torn down. Some of these people tearing statues down are really geniuses. They want to overthrow the government. There are people, and they were marching. They've been marching right after the election, right after Biden was inaugurated. There were riots, and maybe still are, in Portland, Oregon, and they were calling. They were burning American flags. They were calling for Biden to resign, and they're calling for complete takeover of the American government. They don't even support Biden, but the news, the mainstream media won't tell you that. They won't show that. They don't want to show anything negative against Biden. They don't want to show any, even though people on the left, there are people, and I was talking about Bernie Sanders before and why he's been canceled, because Bernie Sanders said that people like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, all these rich guys in Silicon Valley, Warren Buffett, are white privilege people. Billionaires with white privilege. They don't want you to, they need their money. George Soros, the left doesn't want, they don't want to offend those guys, because that's who's financing them. Amen? That's where their money's coming from, and they don't want to offend them by saying that they're white privilege. They'd rather say, I am a Jewish guy in Bristol, Virginia, in Tennessee, because I'm not a billionaire. Amen? So, but Bernie Sanders got canceled because of that. He got, they raked him through the coals. Okay, so going back to the Gentiles leaving with Egypt, this will happen again, because God does things according to the pattern. How you say God will make a way. Only believe and obey. Many Christians will return to Israel along with Messianic Jews. Why? Because it fits the pattern. Not to mention, who would want to stay in a country where portraits of Christopher Columbus are covered up at universities such as Notre Dame, statues of founding fathers are considered being removed, and actually, since I wrote this, have been removed. History is being revised like it was in Nazi Germany. Who would want to live in a country without a free press, or a press that only presents one point of view? Who wants to live in a country without free speech, without freedom of religion or constitutional rights? Who wants to live in a country where your hard-earned money goes to pay welfare for people who don't want to work, and for benefits to, again, this is a term that you're not supposed to say, illegal aliens. They don't call them legal, they don't want you to call them illegal aliens anymore. They want you to call them undocumented foreigners or whatever. I don't know what they call them, something different, They don't say they're illegal aliens anymore, even though that's what they are. They want to take your money and pay their medical expenses, pay for their welfare, pay for their college bills and everything. They want to pay for their educations, and they want to use your tax money to pay for it. Not only that, you may not know this, but President Biden signed an executive order taking your tax money to pay for partial birth abortions, which was being done under the Obama administration. It's going to start happening again. They're going to start taking your money this year to pay for partial birth abortions, whether you like it or not. I don't know what you can do about it. Like I said, follow them as they follow God. I don't believe that is following God, but I don't know how you get around it. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So, he didn't like Caesar, but he paid his taxes. There is probably, but whatever the result is, the fact is God's not going to hold you accountable for doing it if you pay your taxes. He's going to hold the people who accountable who made you do it. So, but anyway, let's continue. And I hope they win, who wants a country where you are demonized, threatened, and even shot, Congressman Steve Scalise, for having conservative values? What about the super blood moon? There were four blood moons called a tetrad between 2014 and 15 that occurred on the biblical holidays of Passover and Sukkot. During both years, God said in Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven and separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. In Luke 21:27, Yeshua said, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, dismay among nations and perplexity, signs in the stars and the sun and moon, blood moon, super blood moon, tetrads, and dismay among nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from expectations of things which are coming up upon the world, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Friends, the most important thing that happened Sunday, January 20th, 2019, was not the AFC-NFC football championship, although I am a fan. It was not the daily hate spewed against our president and the media. It was not even the ridiculous childish failure of our government to do the people's work and resolve the government shutdown and work out a solution to immigration. The most important thing that happened on that day was the super blood moon. It was supermoon, meaning the moon appeared larger since it was closer to Earth, and it can get and it was also a total lunar eclipse, but it was also a sign to you and me for certain. That's it was the most important thing that happened that day, January 20th, 2019. So I began this article quoting traditional Jewish rabbi in Israel, warning of war, trouble in the West, warning the Jewish people to make Aliyah, to come home to Israel. The prophet Joel wrote, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, Joel 2:31. I need to explain something here. The blood red moons are lunar eclipses where the earth fits perfectly between the sun and the moon. However, since the earth is smaller than the sun, light from the sun goes around the earth, and when the refractory light that goes around the earth hits the dust in the atmosphere, it causes the moon to turn the red color. Notice that the Bible makes reference to a blood moon that takes place when the sun is darkened, and all other blood moons are signs of a final one, the real thing. Everybody say the real thing. When the sun is darkened and the moon turns to blood red, the only light that could possibly turn the moon red is the glory of the Lord coming from behind the earth, and his light causing that great prophetic blood moon sign of his return. There are many scriptures, because the reason is it says the sun will be darkened that day. So if the sun's darkened and it's the sun that causes the refractory light to go around the earth and create the blood red moon, if there's no sunlight, the only light that could do it is the light of this glory of this coming of the Son of Man on the other side of the earth. Amen? Will cause the blood red moon that day that he returns. When the sun is darkened and the moon turns to blood, the red, the only light that could possibly turn, that's what I said, is the sign of his return. There are many scriptures that make reference to a blood moon, the sun being darkened. If you have a pen, I'll give you some verses. Even to the moon being darkened before the Lord comes, Isaiah 13:10, Isaiah 34:4, Joel 2:10, Joel 3:15, Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:24, Luke 21:25, Revelation 6:12, to name most of them. You can go back and listen to my message. Rewind it later, or on Facebook, whatever. You can rewind it and you can listen to those verses. Conclusion: I have been preaching Aliyah and the return of the Jewish people from the nations, particularly the West, for 20 years. Finally, I'm starting to see rabbis in Israel who don't believe in Jesus yet, beginning to preach it too. And it's making the news. I read that article about the rabbi in the news. Wow, I'm not in the news, but he is. Praise God, he's preaching the same thing. Some of the same stuff. So the blood moons are signs from the Lord. Number one, that he is preparing to come back soon. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back. Number two, that the Jewish people and many Christians too must return to Israel before he does come back. Number three, that the great and terrible day of the Lord judgment is coming upon the nations, not Israel. See Isaiah 13:10, Isaiah 34, followed by Isaiah 35. Again, that judgment, see, this is what the church teaches, judgment's coming upon Israel. It's always Israel. Let's beat the tar out of those Jews again. We've got to just keep beating the tar out of those Jews. You know? Oh, the church is going to be raptured, but the Jews are going to be left behind. I think that's the most anti-Semitic teaching, and it really bothers me, because I'm Jewish, and I'm a believer in Jesus. And every time I hear preachers and teachers saying that the church is going to be raptured, but the Jews are going to be left behind, it ticks me off. Because who was it that brought the gospel to y'all Gentiles? The Jews. Well, who do you think is going to bring the gospel back to the Jews? The Gentiles. Remember, Romans 11 said, salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Who has the anointing to bring the Jews in to the new covenant? The non-Jews. They don't want to listen to me. They'd rather listen to you. But if you don't know how to reach them, one woman said to me one time, she said, Rabbi Joe, she came to my bagel shop one time, she said, Rabbi Joe, she said, I want to go visit the synagogue, you know, the unbelieving synagogue across town. And she had a big old cross on her neck. And I said, that's fine. You want to go visit them? I said, but I strongly recommend you hide that cross or take it off. And she said, oh, I would never take that off. I said, well, then don't go to the synagogue, because they will not appreciate you. You will offend them before you even sit down. Either hide it or take it off. She didn't understand. See, if you love Jews, Paul said, to the Jew I became as a Jew that I might win some. Well, you don't become a Jew to the Jew by putting a cross on to win them. Amen. That's what Paul said. To the Italian I became as an Italian that I might win some. To the French I became as a Frenchman that I might win some. To the Arab I became as an Arab that I might win some. Amen? Amen. You know, you become as the people are, you know, if you want to win them. And you don't go and offend them, you try to win them. And so she was trying to be herself, and so stuck on her pride, on her Christian pride. Gosh, we got to get out Christians. You know, I love Christians. And I thank God, I wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for Christians. But we got to get over this, you know, Christian pride. You know, it's we're supposed to be humble. Amen? Yeah. I thought, when I read the Beatitudes, I read about humility. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth, not the proud. But man, I have met so many preachers that were so proud. Man, if they had such big churches, you know, and they were so, so proud and so cocky, and so powerful. I couldn't stand in their presence. They just reeked of power. And money, you know, all that's going away. But, all right, let's finish up here. So I said, number one, blood moons are a sign that he's preparing to come back. Number two, that the Jewish people and many Christians, too, must return to Israel before he does come back. Number three, that the great and terrible day of the Lord judgment is coming upon the nations, not Israel. See Isaiah 13:10, Isaiah 34, followed by Isaiah 35. The restoration of Israel, Joel 2, followed by Joel 3. Again, judgment of the nations, followed by the restoration of Israel. So that's messianic teaching. That's not normal Christian teaching that I just gave. So we see a pattern in Scripture of the judgment of the nations, just as Rabbi Fish said, When you see the blood moon over the nations and not over Israel, it means judgment is coming upon the nations, not where the blood moon was seen, not the nations that didn't see the blood moon. So when I listen to teachers like Mark Biltz or John Hagee teach on the blood moon, they say judgment's coming upon Israel. No, that's not what it means. It's coming upon the nations that saw the blood moon. That's what it means. That's what it's always meant. But you won't hear that except from a rabbi. Because they don't want to tell you, Sharon, that America is going to be judged and that there may be war in America. They don't want you, because you don't want to hear that. And they know you don't want to hear that, Carolyn. They know you don't want to hear that. They know that, so they don't want to tell you that, because they're more interested in your tithe. They're more interested in you coming and tickling your ears with false doctrines. And not every pastor, but a lot of preachers, you know, are interested in pleasing you than in preaching to you. Yeah. And I'm not gonna BS you. I'm gonna tell it like it is. And Tom Brady's probably gonna lose the Super Bowl. And I'm a Tom Brady fan, but that young man's gonna kick his butt. You don't think so? I'm a Brady fan, right, Isaac? You know I'm a Brady fan. Who's going to win, Isaac? All right. I hope you're right. All right. Let's bet a pizza. All right. Let's finish this message. Okay. So lastly, I had to tone it down a little bit. It was getting a little heavy. Lastly, the blood moon signs like January 20th are a call for the Jewish people to return to Israel. Aliyah from the West is a precursor, a forerunner to the final blood moon, Matthew 24, 29, 31. But immediately after those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great shofar or trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. Who says Trump isn't in the Bible? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he will send forth his angels with a great shofar, trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Aliyah, the return of the Jews, is a forerunner to the catching up in the clouds to meet the Lord when he returns at the final blood moon. God, remember, super blood moon is a forerunner to the wars and the judgments and the final, you know, before at the coming of the Lord, when all hell breaks loose and the Antichrist is running rampant and the wrath of God is being poured out and God takes his people out. Amen. So let's finish this. So Aliyah is a forerunner to the catching up of the clouds to meet the Lord when he returns at the final blood moon. God always has a forerunner. Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, John the Baptist and Yeshua. But when the real final blood moon comes, God himself will gather all his people up to the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. This will be the final resurrection and our reunion with the Lord in the clouds. What will you do? Will you sit silently like the German and Polish Christians did as their Jewish neighbors were dragged off to the death camps? Christian friends, is that what you'll do? Will you sit silently like the German Christians did as they watched their neighbors, their Jewish neighbors, dragged off to the death camps? Or will you speak out and act like, remember I said, follow the leader as he follows God? Otherwise, we're a country that believes in peaceful protest and civil disobedience. Martin Luther King practiced civil disobedience, right? Selma, amen, marched across the bridge. Was it Selma? Amen. Many times Dr. King and his group practiced civil disobedience. They didn't hurt anybody. They just quietly protested and marched. Amen? And that shouldn't be against the law in this country. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. So if they, you know, don't be silent, but speak wisely and speak and act wisely and act out of purpose. Amen? But don't be a coward. So what will you do? Will you sit silently like the Germans and the Polish Christians did as their Jewish neighbors were dragged off to the death camps? Or will you speak out and act like Bonhoeffer, Schindler, Ten Boom, and perhaps a few hundred other brave souls who stood up to evil? Would you take a Jewish family in at the risk of your own family's lives? Would you do that? Would you risk your own kids to help Jewish people and put them in your attic if they were being persecuted? Not many, I render, but God, you know, how many people from Holland can you name in the Second World War besides Corrie Ten Boom and her family, besides Anne Frank? How many Dutch people can you name that were in Holland during the Second World War? How many Czechoslovakian businessmen from the Second World War can you name besides Oscar Schindler, right? How many nurses in Poland can you name from the Second World War, Polish nurses, besides Irina Sendler? She saved hundreds and hundreds of children from going to the ovens. Irina Sendler. Not Schindler, but Sendler. She was a wonderful woman. And there were many others like her. There were even Catholics who helped the Jews, Catholic nuns and priests who took the Jews into their churches and monasteries. And they hid them. And not all of them, but there were good, very good Catholics who did help the Jews. What would Jesus do? If you wish to connect and participate in this great Aliyah that I speak of, I invite you to connect with us. Don't be jealous of the Jewish people. We're coming back. God says, and I said this, if you listened to my message last week, I'm not trying to diss Christians. God says that if the transgression of my people, Romans 11:25, if the transgression of my people be riches for you, the church, riches, salvation, eternal life, the Bible, forgiveness of sin, just the abundant life, all that you get from being a believer. If the stumbling of my people, the transgression by rejecting the Messiah the first time brought riches to you, Paul says in Romans 11:25, how much more riches will our fullness bring when we come back? How much more riches will our fullness, our return, when we come back in to the family, will bring you greater riches? The eye hasn't seen nor the mind conceived what God has prepared for those who help the Jews get saved, and what God has prepared for you. Amen? Greater riches. You read that, Romans 11. I'm not against the church. I'm not against Christians. My teaching is just a little different. And if you want to learn Jewish teaching, come be with us. I invite you to come here. At least watch us. My friend Stephen here, he was watching, and then he decided to come. Praise God. God bless him. We pray for you, Stephen. We pray for God to put his angels around you and protect you and strengthen you and keep you safe, because I know somebody up there, Mr. Mephistopheles, doesn't like you. You know, have you met Mr. Mephistopheles? He's an ugly guy. All right, so come participate. We need people to help us with our newsletter. If you'd like to participate with our newsletter, contact us. Our website's right there. Call our office. We'll be doing it in about a week and a half. We'll be folding our newsletter. Come and help us. We'll separate you, socially distance you. We'll put you in another building if you want. Put you in a corner by yourself, away from everybody if you're scared. But come and do something. And we'll even feed you lunch. Come participate, volunteer, pray, and support your local Messianic Jewish community. Support your local Messianic synagogue. Support this ministry. Be a Roman centurion and help us. We're $4,000 under budget this year. We just had our board meeting the other day. We're $4,000 short. Help us balance that budget. We need $4,000. Not too bad. Could be $4,000. Could be a lot worse. We've had years where we were $26,000 under, but we're $4,000 under. Help us meet our budget. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. If you can always get this message on CD, you can get it on DVD, you can order it. You can watch it for at our website. God bless you. Please stand. I want to give you the Lord's blessing. Super Blood Moon. Remember, everything I said today came from a message that I gave 2 years ago. All the stuff that's going on that I talked about today, that I predicted 2 years ago, people leaving the cities, violence, riots, statues, higher taxes, wars, even civil war potentially in the United States. I predicted it. I didn't know all the thing. I didn't see it all, but I outlined it in this message. The super blood moon, signs in the heavens. So come and help us with our newsletter and get it out, get the word out. If you don't preach the word, help me preach the word. God will bless you for it. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha V'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha V'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Go Bucks!